Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night. And I am going to go over Revelation chapter 15 and 16, and have some new views since I taught it last. But it looks like next week will be the last of the book of Revelation. And then we're going to start on 1 John. We'll do the book of 1 John. So I know Sister Kathy is very, very interested in, not, Sister Sharon, rather, very, very interested in 1 John.
Oh, yes, I am. I sure am. And it's like I said, I've never had anybody do a study or teaching on First John or any of them ever. So
okay. All right.
I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah. Now, are you running out of interest in the book of Revelation?
Am I running out of interest?
Yes.
No way.
Okay.
No way at all. I just, nope. I'm enjoying it.
Well,
you can just keep teaching it every time you get bored with something else. Just go right back to a book of Revelation.
Okay. And then Sister Kathy?
Had a great, great day and got a good group on Rumble, 24 people. and that would be counting me and Sharon, and so 22, I guess. But just a wonderful 67-degree night in Georgia.
Yeah, the temperature is plunging here. It's supposed to be, I think, in the low 40s.
We had that last week, so I'm glad we're getting a little break.
All right. Okay.
That's pretty chilly for Texas.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's not going to freeze, but it's down there. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Good evening. Blessings Hello. To everyone.
Okay. Blessings to you.
And thank you.
And then batting cleanup here is Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Hello, Sister Rita.
I'm really glad to be here. I'm really glad the Lord, I found you guys by the grace of God. I'm just so grateful for that. And, well, hello, everyone.
Hey, Rita.
Hi.
Now, I addressed you as batting cleanup. You know what that means?
No, I don't.
That's a baseball term, and you put the best hitter, the power hitter, up fourth. That way you got people on base before the power hitter comes and the power.
Oh.
So your best power hitter and player, I guess you could say, is fourth, and that's called cleanup.
Yep.
Oh, well, thank you. I find that to be a compliment. So
yes,
thank you.
It was meant to be a compliment.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well,
bring us all home, Rita.
Yeah. Right.
Bye,
right.
Yes.
So the one that gets on base the most, the easiest, you know, bats first. So that's Sharon right now, and then the second position, which is Sister Kathy, is something like the first position. They're not usually big home run hitters if they get on base a lot. And then the third, which is Gigi and Randy, that's also a power hitting position to get those runners in. And then, of course, cleanup comes, number four. Clean up the bases there and get the runs in. So there we go. Okay. Now, here's what happened. I have this put together, but there are some little, if I'm going to use the word nuances, that I'd like to add here that I've seen in the scriptures and Book of Revelation, I mean. And I think it's, it might be a little hard to understand at first, but it shows you how the book is structured, even in a big overall structure, but then even in small structure. Sister Kathy, did you understand what I said?
Big structure, nuances on little structures. I got it.
Okay.
I have no idea.
You have no idea what I just said?
No.
Oh, man.
Kathy, love it.
Okay, well, let me try it, and then you'll see, all right? Okay.
Yeah.
So we go over. I may get run out of town if this doesn't go over too good. But anyways, let's get going over here. And this is Revelation 15, but we're probably going to get into 16. But these nuances that I was telling you, I hope you get them, because it's really neat how the book of Revelation is structured in different layers. All right. So let me open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord, the book of Revelation. It's amazing how you have fine tuned it, Lord. And when we get to the right layout of it, we can see it, Lord. This fine tuning that you've done, it's really marvelous. So I praise you and thank you. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this testimony, of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, Lord, I pray that all the blessings of the book of Revelation, because it's the revelation of you. It's really like, well, I can't say the blessed hope, because the blessed hope's the rapture. This is your coming to set up your kingdom here on earth. So we praise you and thank you, and may this be a great test teaching, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so let's go. I can see this. I'm in Revelation chapter 15. And last week I spent a lot of time in Revelation 14. So hang on here while I get over. Okay, now I have this here laid out, but I can just see as I've been thinking about this, there are things that I want to add for tomorrow. So I'm going to rearrange it, but I got to get through you first. You have to go along with this. But we're in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So this is the last plagues before the Lord return. Now, what I wanted to bring out about these the division in the book of Revelation is verses chapter 14, really all the ways back to 6, are about the first 3.5 years. Now, let me get back over here a second, back over to Sister Kathy. And Sister Kathy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, last week, I hope I did this, because everything's a blur. I did teach on the division of the book of Revelation time-wise, correct?
I believe so.
Right.
We had a lot of problems last week with the rumble staying on.
Oh, yes. So maybe I didn't finish it. Yeah, now I remember that. Big time trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody remember? Gigi, do you remember if I was to teach thorough for the time setup of the book of Revelation?
I wish I remembered exactly, but I don't.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
remember.
Yeah, this is really important now. And let me get back over to, I'll close this out here. And I'll get to what's called the midst of the week. And so what I have to do is I have to go back into my PowerPoint setup, understanding the book of Revelation, the midst of the week. That's 3.5 years. Now, the midst of the week is terminology that comes from the book of Daniel.
Right, right.
And this the introduction. Here is the prayer. My opening prayer here, and you, everybody here understands about Revelation 6 and the sixth seal. Okay. Now, week, just to reinforce this, in the Hebrew, week means seven. It's translated week, but you have to look at the context to see if it's a week of days or years and in the book of Daniel, it's all years. So Daniel, it's based on years. And the prophecy is about, it's called the 70 weeks of Daniel. That's 490 years. And we're going to be looking at tonight, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is part of the prophecy of 490-year prophecy about the coming of the Messiah of Israel. And so he comes at the end of the 69th week for 483 years. So let me read this here. Daniel's prophecy is for 70 weeks or 490 years. Christ comes at the end of the 69th week of weeks or 483 years. So when it says here Christ is coming, it's not coming to the cross. The time is not counted to the cross. It's counted to when he presents himself as the Messiah to Israel. And we call that like Palm Sunday. That's when the prophecy ends. The very day he presented himself on the donkey coming into Jerusalem. And they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's when the prophecy ended. But it continues because it talks about the Messiah being cut off, but not for himself. He's dying on the cross for our sin. It talks about the city, but that happened after the completion of the 69th week. Then it talks about the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. That happened approximately 37 years after the Lord died. So the prophecy is still running, folks. It didn't end when the Lord died on the cross, or when he presented himself to Israel. And it specifically talks about the 70th week. That's the last 7 years. It's not attached to the 69th week. There's a huge gap. And now at our particular time, the gap is like almost 2,000 years. But it's going to be fulfilled, just like the prophecy about him coming at the end of the 69th week was fulfilled. Then he was going to die, but not for himself. Then the city and the sanctuary was going to be destroyed. Now we're going to look at the last 7 years to be fulfilled. And that's before us. It hasn't been fulfilled, but it's very close now. And I can't set a date on it. I can say it's not 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, inside of 10 years, I would say. And maybe I'm stretching that. I'm stretching 10 years, the way things are happening in the Middle East. So let's look at Daniel 9:27 and to see how it fits in for what's happening in the very near future. So I'll read it and then I'll interpret what it means, because it's a little confusing here. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, see, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, now it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The he there, when you go back to verse 26, it's referred to as the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come is Roman, because the city and the sanctuary, that's Jerusalem, was destroyed by the people of the prince to come. And then you come into verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is the prince to come. Now, when we look at the Bible, a big overall view of prophecy, the prince to come in Revelation chapter 13 is called the beast. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, he is called the abomination of desolation. When you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you start at verse 4, he is called the man of sin and the son of perdition. Okay. And he's also more commonly known as the Antichrist. I mean, if you say the Antichrist, everybody has any connection or any knowledge at all of the Bible, they know what that means. The man of sin, son of perdition, no. The beast, no. You have to have some little bit more detailed knowledge of the Bible to know that. So, and he shall confirm the covenant. That's the Antichrist slash beast. With many, when it talks about, like, with many, Israel has to be in the picture. That's who the covenant is being made with for 7 years. In the midst of the week, that's 3.5 years, he, the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, sacrifice is, it can be blood sacrifice, and oblation is non-blood, to cease. So that means when we read there, and he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, when we put it all in perspective and look at it, Israel, the Jews, only sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. By law, that's the only place they can do it. There hasn't been any sacrifices since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So this tells us that the temple, sometime in the future, the temple is going to be rebuilt and the law of Moses is going to be enacted again. Clearly, that's what that's saying. And in the middle of it, he's going to stop it. And we don't know the reason why, according to Daniel here, but he's going to stop it. And then it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. So the overspreading, and it means, you know, like a canopy, overspreading of abominations. The abominations are things that are loathsome to God. Something, this prince to come, the beast of Revelation 13, in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years into it, is going to do something that is grossly abominable to God. So, and he's going to do it and shall make it desolate. Now the it there goes back to the temple. He's going to, these abominations are going to have to, they're going to be centered in the temple of God. Now we know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he's going to go into the temple there and declare that he is God. That is the abomination, that a man, the beast, is going to go into the Holy of Holies of the temple, the rebuilt temple, and declare he is God. So that is, and that's the abomination, him, a man, going into God's temple, where the presence of God was certainly, and when we look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was God's glory in there. Also, Jesus in Matthew 24:15 said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Now, that ties in with 2 Thessalonians. But I want to add to it that I think it's more than that, because the Bible talks in Revelation 13 about the image of the beast. And the image of the beast is going to talk. And it says that the later he's identified as the false prophet. And Revelation 13 says he is going to give it life. I think it's going to be like a cyborg. That's what I think it is. That, I believe, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to set up that image in the Holy of Holies. And what it is like man creating, it's like man is God, then he's the creator now. That's the abomination. It's like a two-tiered abomination of desolation. One is the man of sin, and the other is his image. And then it says, even until the consummation, that is to the end, this abomination is going to take place even to the end. The end is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. The desolate there is a person, and that person is the man of sin, the beast. And what he's going to do in both Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 19, the man of sin is directly put into the lake of fire. When Christ returns, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast, the Antichrist, will be put directly into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire supersedes hell. Hell right is in existence right now, and it's like a holding prison until Revelation chapter 20 and the great white throne judgment. And everybody will be taken out of hell and brought to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And everybody whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then after the judgment, they all will be put into the lake of fire forever. So the beast, there'll be no trial for him and the false prophet. They will go directly at Christ's second coming. They'll be placed into hell. So I wanted to give you the background and understand the 70th week and the midst of it, because the 70th week of Daniel and the tribulation period is the same time. It's the exact time. So the 70 week of Daniel is 7 years, and the tribulation period is 7 years. And when we look into the tribulation period, we're going to see incredible things happen in the midst of the week. And that's what I want to look at tonight. What's going on in the midst of the week? So with that, we can tell, here's another part of this that is important in the book of Revelation, that the midst of the week puts the tribulation period into the tribulation into two time periods. The first 3.5 years, and the second 3.5 years. So what we're going to look at tonight is the midst of the week, and then the first half of that midst, and then the second half of that midst. And you're going to see, until I did lay it out like I'm explaining to you, the tribulation period was like, their seals are being opened and trumpets are sounding and there's woes and there's thunders. And it's all kind of mishmash to me. It was. And then you come to the midst of the week and it changes completely. Not completely, but it changes radically. And most of the destruction takes place in the first 3.5 years. And that's what I wanted. One of the things I wanted to show you tonight. After the midst and we go into the second half, it's really kind of quiet, folks. And what is going on is the beast comes to power right at this mark here, 3.5 years, the midst of the week. Because I don't want to give you too much on this right now. I want to show you from the scriptures. But from the time of the midst of the week all the ways till the final judgment, those are the vile judgments in Revelation 16. The word is quiet, folks. It's quite astonishing to me when God was showing me the whole layout. The last 3.5 years is very quiet in the tribulation period, and I'll tell you what's going on, but it's quiet until you get to right about the time of the Lord's return. Then you get the vile judgments being released on the earth just prior to Christ coming. All right. Sister Sharon.
What's happening, John?
How are you following me on this now?
Well, I know that we're going up to the halfway mark, and you know, with the tribulation and stuff, and you know, like Daniel talks about it and everything. And I was just wondering, you know, we last study we talked about the two that were at the 3.5 week part. I can't think of what we call them. The two.
Well, the two prophets. The two prophets.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you were going to be talking about
yes.
them.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
But once I lay this out, you will really see all this action in the first 3.5 years. And then the last 3.5 years, it's astonishing. The beast is set. There's no wars because the beast is taking complete control. He is being he's being worshipped. God is not interfering in the first 3.5 years. At the end, he does. And there's one witness to the people in those last 3.5 years, not to take the mark of the beast. That's it. One witness to it.
Okay.
So that's why it's radical when you see this. It's really radical, the difference between the first 3.5 years and the second. But I'll ask now and then, Sister Sharon, about how you're picking this up so I don't run too far ahead of you on this. I want everybody to absorb this.
That would be fine. That way you know I haven't fallen asleep, too.
Well, see, that's why I didn't call on Sister Kathy, because she's been known to nap now and then. Is that correct, Sister Kathy?
I have. I did last night, but I'm not sleepy tonight, so I'm hanging in there. Thank you. But call on Sharon.
Just in case.
Margaret. They're ready.
Hey, I've got to tell you some. I don't think I ever told anybody this. And but do you remember? Of course, you remember John Holman, my friend John.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Now he used to come on with me on Wednesday nights to Pastor Ernie's show. Pastor Ernie really liked John. He really did. And a couple times, and John is a notorious snorer. I mean, a bad snorer. I'm not exaggerating. My brother was probably up there with the worst I've ever heard, but John was right there, you know, like 100 decibels snoring. And I heard him, Pastor Ernie would like, John, are you there? And I knew he was snoring. I could hear it. Not really loud, but in the background, he fell asleep, and I could hear him snoring. That happened several times. Ernie never picked up on it. At least he never told me he did. So there we go, Brother John with the Lord now. All right. So we're going to look at Revelation 5, 19 through 14. And what Revelation 5, these verses are about, when we look at Revelation 5, the Lord comes forth from the midst of the throne. I call that the bosom of the Father, because the Father is sitting on the throne, and he's handed the scroll. The Father gives the Lord a scroll, and in it are the judgments of Book of Revelation, starting with the seven seals. And that is the title deed for earth. And the Lord Jesus is going to rip the earth away from the devil. And all of the sin and everything that's a part of the devil's reign is going to be dealt with in 7 years. So when we, and also he's going to set the earth up for the reign of his son. So when you see the mountains coming down and you see the earth being scorched, and Luke talks about the waves roaring, I believe that's tsunamis, islands disappearing and all. What God is doing, he's scrubbing the earth. He's cleansing. It's like being put in a washing machine. Yeah. And he's getting it ready for the millennial reign of his son, the Lord Jesus. That's what these judgments are, like this earth, mighty earthquakes, and it's going to bring the mountains down. Well, all the cities are going to be destroyed. All right. So the Revelation 5:9-14, heaven is worshiping the Lord because he's about to move against the devil now and take the earth back. So there's excitement in heaven. So verses 9-14 are reflecting this. Now here's how 14 ends. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. The next scene in heaven is Revelation 8:1. And I've already taught Revelation 7 and 6 and how the actual judgments of the book of Revelation begin in Revelation 8:1. So this is Revelation 8:1 here is the beginning of the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. The 7 years of that prophecy in Revelation 8, that's actually 1-5. But Revelation 8:1 is the beginning of the 7 years here on earth. Yeah. So here's what 8:1 says. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So you have all of this cheering for the Lord and giving him glory and worshiping him, and then boom, silence. For a half hour, something huge is going on, that all of this praising the Lord has come to a real sudden end. Now, of course, there's more to this, but I can't teach that tonight. I've already taught on more details about this. Now, verse 5, and the angel took the censer. And remember that censer is filled with the prayers of the saints, and filled it with fire of the altar. And that's what they put the fire from the altar in that the censers back in the under the law of Moses. This is following like the law of Moses here, or the law of Moses follows this, and cast it into the earth. So now in heaven, this golden censer is filled with the prayers of the saints having to do about the tribulation period, having to do with righteousness, judgment, the Israel being set up, the second coming of the Lord. That's what all these prayers are. And there were voices and thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. When that earthquake hits the ground, that is the exact moment the 70th week of Daniel starts. From that moment, and it goes by days, 360 days a year. So that would be times seven. What is that? 2300, I think. I should have put that down. I didn't. So, and I also believe on earth, they're going to hear voices and thunderings and lightnings accompanying this earthquake. The earthquake has to be significant, and I believe it's going to be in the Middle East near Israel. So there'll be you'll be able to make a correlation, a direct correlation between the covenant that Israel makes with the man of sin, the son of perdition, and this large earthquake, and all the supernatural things happening with it. So right away, you're going to have the world's attention with this earthquake and the lightnings and the thunders and the voices. In conjunction with that earthquake, this event begins the ministry of God's two prophets and his 144,000 servants. These ministries will last for 3.5 years or until the midst of the 7 years. So I believe the two prophets and the 144,000, Jewish servants, because they're all from the tribes of Israel. I have to add that. They will use this earthquake. I'm sure they will. They'll point to it and they'll say, you saw this earthquake at the time this covenant was signed with Emperor, I don't know what his title will be, and that this is God's warning. You have 7 years till the second coming of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and turn to him as your savior. They'll preach he died for your sins. That earthquake is like the seal. It's like the seal coinciding with that covenant. Boom. And that big earthquake hits with all the supernatural surroundings. God's two prophets are going to be thrown right out into the public, along with the 144,000 servants and the first 3.5 years of this 7 years is on now, because they're both of them are only going to minister for the two prophets and the 144,000 are only going to minister for 3.5 years on the earth. Now, counting time to show you 3.5 years, the midst, Revelation 11:2 about the temple on earth during this time. But the court, now that's the court of the temple, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given over to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they thread underfoot for 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 11 verse 3. And I will give power to my witnesses, my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days. That's 3.5 years. So that number tells you that the months are 30-day months, not like it is now. It's 30-day months. But there's something I want to add in here that I've never taught before. And if you look at Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it's all about the temple. But you come to verse 3, and it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. In English grammar, as I understand it, we just don't start a sentence and follows something going before it. So right. Chapter 1 and 2 is about the temple. And then it says, with these two verses about the temple, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy there. So what I believe with these two witnesses, the two prophets, they're connected with the temple. They probably will not leave Jerusalem. They're going to stay in Jerusalem. They are going to be a witness to Israel for 3.5 years. They're going to be a witness to the nations. And if you read on in Revelation chapter 11, it talks about all the world is going to see the two prophets laying dead in Jerusalem. And all the world is going to see God raise them from the dead.
Amen.
So their power... And I may be wrong on this, and maybe it will be, most of their witness will be but in Jerusalem. But notice how it's connected. Those verses 1, 2, 3 are connected with the word end. Yeah, because look at verse 2. But the court, which is without the temple. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. So I believe the two witnesses are going to be focused in Jerusalem. They're going to be focused on the temple. They are also going to be proclaiming judgments on the nations. And we know that they cannot be touched for 3.5 years, but they are greatly hated. God's two witnesses are hated and despised. Because if you go on in Revelation chapter 11, you see where the world, it's like a Christmas party when the two witnesses are dead, the two prophets, they're giving gifts to each other and they're having a happy time throughout the world. So I wanted to bring that out, that verse 3 being tied into 1 and 2 ties the two prophets basically to Jerusalem and to the temple. Now, Sister Sharon, how is that going? How is all this going now?
It's a lot more clearer. It's making sense. And it's just, it is, it's making sense to me.
Okay. All right. So we can see, now I didn't go into more of chapter 11. I will, if we have time tonight, because I'm trying to show you how events are divided up in the midst of the tribulation of the 3.5 years is very important. So that's what I'm laying out now, is the big structure of the book of Revelation. Things, right. Events fit very neatly. The first 3.5 years up to the midst, and then it fits very neatly in the last 3.5 years. And there's like, now I'm trying to think to make sure I'm saying this correctly. I don't see any overlap from the first 3.5 years going into the second 3.5 years. It's kind of clear cut. And that that being clear cut makes it it makes everything fit together. It fits together. This is taking place all in the first 3.5 years. This is taking place in the second 3.5 years, and there's no confusion about it. So you can fit things nice and neatly in the first 3.5 years, and then you fit them in the second 3.5 years. You follow?
Yeah.
So that makes the book of Revelation concise there, and not overwhelmingly confusion. You look at that and you go, oh yeah, that's the first 3.5 years. And that ties in with this, you know, instead of one thing leading into another, that aren't tied together, and they have to make up things, my opinion, on it. And this way here, it's laid out nice and neat. First 3.5 years, the midst, and the second 3.5. Now we're in the second 3.5 years. All right.
Okay.
And this is Revelation 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him. Now that him there is the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, when we get to Revelation 13, you'll see that this 42 months is after the midst of the week. And this is for the end, the second period of time. This is when he starts. This is when the mark of the beast is instituted, not in the first half. Not in the beginning of the tribulation, in the midst of the tribulation, this is when the beast comes to power, and he comes into power. He's in power for 42 months. So it's nice and clear. We know the time frame now. Revelation 12:6, and the woman representing Israel fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. Well, there is 3.5 years. And when we look at the context of it, when is that? That's the second period of time in the Bible. It's the second 3.5 years. That's when this kicks in. Revelation 12:14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she should fly into the midst, into the wilderness, and into her place, where she is nourished for time. That's in that context, 1 year, times 2 years, and half a time. That adds up to 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That's the second. That's all in the second 3.5 years. So the Bible's dividing this all up now. And if I get to it tonight, you'll see that Revelation 12, like 6 and 14, has to do with war in heaven. Michael and his angels have Satan removed, and he's come to the earth. He is banished now, and he's on the earth. That takes place during this time. So when is Satan cast down onto the earth? 3.5 years. And again, I'll show you this as we go on. At the midst of the week, 3.5 years. So look what's happening at the midst of the week. All these things, I mean, this is dynamic. But it's laid out precisely if you understand when the tribulation begins, the midst of it, the end of it.
Right.
You'll see Satan. When is Satan like loosed on the earth? Right at the midst, when the beast goes into the Holy of Holies declaring that he is God. Satan is thrown down at the same time. So it's clear. It's not confusing. When does this happen? When does that happen? Much is happening at the midst of the tribulation, at the midst of the week here. Yeah, the midst of the tribulation.
It gets me, John, is that how people would think that this person was God. When he's claiming to be God, they know better.
That's one thing I want to show you, too. It's massive delusion. It's deception. There's tremendous deception in here. And the deception is based on the rejection of God. So as people reject God, the delusion and deception gets greater and greater and greater to where they will worship the man of sin rather than the creator of the universe.
Okay. I see that. I see what you're talking about.
All right. The midst of the week again. And this here I covered already, but it's Revelation. The two prophets end. The ministry of the two prophets began at that earthquake. And it says here, verse 1, it's about the temple. Verse 2, it's about the court of the Gentiles. And verse 3, it's about God's two prophets ministering connected with the temple. And then we come to Revelation 11:7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. God is allowed this now because the time of their witness is up. He's given the earth, the people of the earth, 3.5 years to hear these witnesses. And at the end of 3.5 years, and it's precisely 3.5 years, the beast will kill them. Now, I want you to see that, the part there in verse 7. And the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Now, in Revelation 13, and there's scripture outside of Revelation 13. It talks about the beast receiving a deadly head wound. And what happens is he dies, and the whole world is going to see him die. And just before his confrontation with the two prophets, it says he ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. You see that, Sister Sharon?
Yes.
Okay. So this is part of the deception that God's allowing. And I'll try as we go on to show you this deception and what God is doing to tell the people the truth. Ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. So the people are going to be in awe of him, because all of them that are deceived, because these two prophets were invincible. They hate these two prophets. Vast numbers hate them on earth. And the beast who died, and the Bible says here, he was put into the bottomless pit. He comes out of it just prior to mid-tribulation, and he goes and he kills God's two prophets. That's the deception, Jared.
That's interesting.
This is the deception now, you know, because when you go to Revelation 13, it says, who can make war against the beast? All right, now verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So there's this huge confrontation. When is this taking place? It's like on the day the midst of the week. There's this day right here. There's this huge confrontation taking place right now in the midst of that day. Isn't that something when you look how precise this is? Now,
yes.
What I want to add is, because I don't know how much time, this is like a little overwhelming to teach, because there's so much overlapping, and I don't want to overwhelm you. But but that's why I'm talking to you, Sister Sharon, to make sure you're grasping it. This here, right at what I'm reading to you, is when the beast comes to power over the earth, right here, right now, this day. And this is when, right here at this day, probably the next day, he's instituting the mark of the beast. I mean, the mark of the beast, the 666 number. Right here it starts. Now, ending right here is the reign of the whore of Babylon. And I'll see how much I can get to into this. But the whore of Babylon reigns for 3.5 years. The whore of Babylon is responsible for slaughtering God's people. They're slaughtered for the testimony of Jesus. And it says in Revelation 17 about the whore that God puts it into the heart of political Babylon to join and give all their power. Once the beast is raised from the dead, all the political power goes to him, and they kill the whore. The whore is killed. The religious system is killed, and everything, all political power, all religious power, goes to the beast, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Right here. This is the cutting edge. Right, like maybe the day before this, the whore of Babylon is destroyed. And then on this day, you see this battle here. And on this day begins the 42-month reign of the beast leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right here. So this is precise. I mean, boom, the whore's dead, like destroyed on, we'll say, this day in the morning. And then in the afternoon begins the reign of the beast for 42 months. That's how precise this is. And in the middle of it, the two prophets are killed. But it says for 3.5 days. So there's a 3.5 day overlap. I don't know. I would say the prophet, he says that he's going to reign for 42 months. So when he, once he killed God's two prophets, that's what triggers all of this. So the 3.5 days is an after, it's an after effect. But on that,
okay,
on that midday is when all of this is happening in the book of Revelation. But it's in, you can follow it and you can see how the timing of it precise to the very day. Now here is Revelation 17 about the whore, which I was just talking about, and Revelation 13 about the beast. So, and the 10 horns, now those 10 horns represent kingdoms. Horns are powers, which thou sawest upon the beast. Now, upon the beast is the political system. These shall hate the whore and shall destroy her and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Verse 17. For God had put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The word of God being fulfilled is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the political system rises up and destroys the religious system. And at the same time, all the political system gives power, their power to the beast. They're coming under because he was in hell and he rose up out of hell. So they're all, they're, this event there that Revelation 11 talks about the beast, and then they kill the two prophets, they're ready to worship him. All the political power and all the religious power is under the beast right now. Now look at Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? That's because he makes war because all the power now has been given to him. So no one can make war against him. But they're saying, who is like unto the beast? He was in perdition and he came out. See, and they worshiped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who was like the unto the beast? Why? That's because he came up out of hell. Who was able to make war with him? No one. All power is under him now. Now look at verse 15. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So when does his reign begin? 42 months, mid-tribulation. And when was the destruction of the whore of Babylon? To fit into this, the beast coming to power, the whore had to be killed just before the beast came to power. So when was the whore of Babylon destroyed? 3.5 years into the tribulation period. When does the beast come to power? 3.5 years in the tribulation period. So we can tie this all together. And it's awesome what's ending at mid-tribulation and what's beginning at mid-tribulation. So I'm going to Sister Kathy. Uh-oh, she's sleeping. Sister Kathy, are you there? All right.
Yeah, I am. I covered up my phone and I couldn't get to it. I heard you talking, but I couldn't get to it. But yeah, it makes sense. And I heard all of Sharon's amens.
Now, based on what I'm saying, there's a lot I'm not going to be able to get to tonight, but based on what I'm saying, if you understand this concept, the first 3.5 years, mid-tribulation, the last 3.5 years, do you see how, like, the book of Revelation is easy to follow now?
Yeah, it's
Amen.
Absolutely succinct.
Yes, yes. Amen, Sister Sharon, right?
Amen, amen. I agree.
It's no longer like mass confusion. What's happening here? What's happening there? If you know the timeline, it all fits together very nice and neatly.
Right. It's like everybody's walking up to the edge of a cliff, or you see those pictures they show where we got a road splitting off two ways, and one's to go to the good way, one's to the bad way, and you know, and that's kind of something that you can look at and understand and put things together. But it's just like this study. You can put it together and everything. And I have like little things that I'm thinking about while you're saying them. And I'm just going to have to keep listening.
Okay. All right. Now we're looking at Satan cast down to the earth. Revelation 7, Revelation 12, 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And then when we read it here, the devil was cast out of heaven. Revelation 12, 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Now we go to verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child. So that woman is Israel. Now look what happens there. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, a year. I already showed you this, times, 2 years, and half a time, 3.5 years. So when you look at the context, when is the devil cast into the earth? 3.5 years. Yeah, because that's the time that Israel is going to be protected. Because the devil immediately, when he's cast onto the earth, what does he do? He persecutes the woman. So probably when when the Antichrist, the beast, kills God's two prophets, that's probably at the exact time that Satan is thrown down into the earth. Probably. I can't say for sure, but looking at the big picture and how things are synchronized, I would say that's when he's thrown down into the earth.
Okay. I just think it's interesting that Satan is literally thrown down.
Yeah, you know, that's what it says, cast.
He's got so much power.
He was cast onto the earth. Yep, cast onto the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So now I want you to see this here. This is very interesting. And I was hoping to have enough time to get to this. The first 3.5 years, the witnesses for God, the two prophets, Revelation 11:3, and the 144,000 servants, Revelation 7:3. So the results, and this is mixed results, the prophets and the 144,000. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Verse 9. After this, Revelation 7, 9. And after this I beheld. Now, after this is the call of the 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel, God's servants, and a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, this here, I want you to understand that these saints, those that are under the altar in Revelation 6:9, and then those that are before the throne in heaven, they're the same ones, because God, the people in Revelation 6:9 under the altar wanted their blood avenged. And we know that it's the whore of Babylon that did it, that shed their blood. It says in scriptures, Revelation 17:6, that the whore was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. Yeah. So when the whore is killed, God avenged their blood, and they are taken out from the altar, under the altar. And Revelation 7:9 tells us what God did with them. And beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palms on them. So God took them out and put them on the crystal sea of glass, which is before his throne. Okay? Because this all occurred in the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. This does not bleed over into the second, past the mid-tribulation. This all ends right at mid-tribulation. Now, look what happens when we go to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 14 is the divide between mid-tribulation and mid 3.5 years and the post 3.5 years. So look what happens to those that die and refuse the mark of the beast. And I saw another sign in heaven, 15:1. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, that sea of glass mingled with fire in heaven, that's a reference to the crystal sea of glass that's before the throne. And now look at this. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Notice those that were slain for not taking the mark of the beast, they went immediately to heaven. They weren't under the altar. Under the altar is for the first 3.5 years to the mid-tribulation. After mid-tribulation, those that refuse the mark of the beast and are slain, they go right to be with God in heaven. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So there we go. Distinct difference. Now, those in the second half of the tribulation that refuse the mark of the beast, when they are slain, they go directly before the throne of God, and they're given harps, and they begin to sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Before that, those that were slain by the whore, they were put under the altar until the whore was slain, and then God brought them out and put them, they came out, and they stood before the crystal sea of glass before the throne. So there's no confusion. You might say, well, why are those here in Revelation 15:1? How come they go before the throne of God when they're killed, but those in Revelation 6:9 are under the altar? Well, now we know why. Now we know why, because of the way that the book of Revelation is set up. The whore is killed 3.5 years into the tribulation, and that's the time when God avenges the blood of the martyrs and saints killed by the whore. He uses the political system to destroy the whore of Babylon. When that happens, the altar is opened, all the souls come out, and they stand before the throne, worshiping the Lord. These here are not killed by the whore. They're killed by the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, and they go directly to him. All right, I guess that's, I'd like to go for more because there is more, but I think Sister Sharon might be gasping for air.
No, it's not that bad.
Okay.
No, it's just getting your mind wrapped around the 3.5 years and where that 3.5 year point is. And it seems like when we're listening to this, or me, that there's several places where that 3.5 years is.
Yes. Yeah, it's all through it. You know, and what happens is Revelation 15 and 16 is all one thought. Revelation 15 is about the seven angels getting being given vials full of God's wrath. And then in Revelation 16, they're loosening pouring these vials out upon the earth. So Revelation 15 and 16 go together. So in Revelation chapter 14, God warns, an angel from heaven warns the inhabitants of the earth, every nation, people, every nation, language, every people, nation, tribe, and tongue are warned on earth, every one of them, not to take the mark of the beast. And so that happens in the division. In Revelation 14, they haven't taken the mark of the beast yet. So before it, God warns them. When does he warn them? Mid-tribulation. Because the beast starts immediately, the mark of the beast, when he takes power. So like the day before, the beast starts initiating the mark of the beast, God warns everyone on earth not to take the mark of the beast. And then you get to 15 and 16, which are the judgments. So God gives the mark of the warning for the mark of the beast. No more warnings. There's no prophets. There's one warning from God at the beginning of this. And there's no prophecy. There's nothing more in scriptures. What I'm telling you is all there is about the tribulation period under the beast. It's amazing. Most of it is before the midst of the tribulation. After it, I'm sharing with you now. It goes from the warning in Revelation 14 to the final judgments in Revelation 15 and 16. Most of the action in the book of Revelation is the first 3.5 years. God is really silent. The people on earth get one warning, and that's it. Okay, we'll call it an evening now. If you have any questions, comments, please call in 717-409-5553. And we can take the questions or comments. If someone has a tremendous testimony they want to give, please call in. All right. So I've been talking to Sharon and Sister Kathy, and now I have Gigi and Randy. Yes, Gigi and Randy.
Sorry, I was having a problem with the phone. That was very good. And I was reading along, which was very helpful to me to be able to read along with you. Sometimes I'm able to do that. And I do have a question. It's sort of out of the context. I mean, it's still in Revelation, but so may I ask a question? It's in 12.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I have heard many people, even teachers and this kind of thing, talking about that Satan took a third of the angels with him, right? But
yes.
The only reference that I have ever found for that is in Revelation 12:4. That's the only one that says this. And I am not sure how they are talking about that now as if it's happened in the past, when this looks like this is going to happen in the future.
Right. Exactly.
And so I don't know that. So I guess what my question is, I can see that you might be able to interpret it because the woman is going to have the man child.
Right. Right.
But
that's where they draw it. That's where they make the connection back to it.
Yeah. But
the Bible here is talking about Christ's first coming, and then it leaps to the events happening prior to his second coming.
Right. And so that's why I'm trying to figure this out, because even though it's mentioned here, there's no other mention of it anywhere.
In John, Jesus said, "I saw Satan cast from heaven."
Right, but it doesn't say about the third part.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to figure out, because I know this is, you know, when it's talking about things, it's talking about things that have happened in the past, things that are happening then, and things that are happening in the future. It's all three of those time periods. And because I guess my question is, what is the significance of him taking a third of the angels with him?
Well, that shows you the rebellion against God.
Right. But I'm just saying that because it's a third, so I was wondering if that had some sort of a significance. It's not the majority. And
right.
There's some debate about it's an angel, it's an evil angel, it's a demon, it's an unclean spirit, you know, those kinds of things. I've been trying to study through that just to make sure I have an understanding of it.
Well,
so,
Revelation 12 tells you who it is. Revelation 12 is really clear about it. Okay, let me go back to Revelation. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. And then if you read there, it talks in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Okay, I guess, you know, to me, it sounds like it's happening at that time. So that's why, with Michael and the angels, because that is happening at the time period that this is addressing in the book of Revelation, right?
Right, right, yes.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Yes, exactly.
I know that there was a rebellion in heaven. I know that. But like I said, I don't understand, because I think there are several time periods going on right in this section.
Well, yeah, in the beginning, it you're right. In the first few verses of Revelation 12, it's talking about the Lord's first birth, and Satan was wroth and angry at his first. But then it goes on about his second coming. That's the events immediately preceding the second coming of the Lord. And in this particular case, it's 3.5 years. That's when Satan is removed from heaven and cast down to the earth.
Okay, I'm going to have to just go over that again, because like I said, I know it's kind of three different time periods within that scripture there. And I've never seen anybody, I've heard people teach it, but never give the references for it. And never go through the explanation. So that's why I'm just saying I was confused about that. So thank you.
No problem. Any other questions here? Okay. Let me get back over. We have Rita. Rita, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't have any questions. And I was able to follow along most of the way. But I have no questions. I'm going to have to, I just need to get my Bible in front of me and read where you taught tonight.
Yes.
That would help me to get more grounded.
Yeah, and the big thing is how the Bible's divided up, and then once you understand it, like I've been explaining, everything fits in nice and neatly. Questions.
Yeah.
Why are some going to heaven in the presence of God and given harps to sing, and others are under the altar? And they want vengeance for their shed blood. Why? You know, so when you understand, like tonight, the way I was teaching it, you could see some are happening in the first half of the tribulation, and other events are happening in the last part of the tribulation. And there's been judgment.
Right.
There's been judgment on the whore and the false, the beast has been given all power, all religious power, all political power. And that's for the second half of the tribulation. So it's really precise. It's incredible the way what happens during the mid-tribulation is incredible.
Yes, it is. I'm just glad I'm not going to be there when it happens.
Amen. 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 Okay, any questions? Sister Kathy, are you patrolling Rumble by any chance to see if there's...
No, I can get back in there. But I did have a question, and you answered it in the process about sacrifice and oblation.
Yes.
So you covered that before as you were discussing it. So that was very good. And let me see right here. Okay, so Brother Dez just got back from choir practice. Twiz is telling Brother Dez she just got back from choir practice with her daughter. And so on Facebook, Brother Zephaniah said, thanks for the information on Revelation.
Oh.
So that was good.
Yeah, now I'm looking over here. And we dropped Facebook and we dropped X. I'm still streaming.
Well, now, isn't that unusual?
Yeah, and I'm back now. Unable to connect, but we are streaming with Rumble.
Yeah, but.
Well, I think we could have a little bit of prayer tonight, and after we finish the prayer, if there's time for a song or two, we can do that. So, Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father God, Abba, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. We just thank you for the job you do taking care of us, providing for us, teaching us, leading us into all truth. You're all encompassing and all always on time, always ready. You never grow weary. You never faint. And Lord, neither should we, because you told us we don't have to. Thank you for the teaching tonight. Thank you for the way Revelation is we have been blessed tonight. It said that anyone who reads the book or hears about it will be blessed. So we have got multitudes of blessings tonight and in the weeks prior. So thank you so much for that. Thank you how you just reward those that diligently seek you. You are anyone that draws near to you, you draw near to them. You never leave us or forsake us. You give us peace that passes all understanding. You're the God of a more than enough, exceeding abundantly above all we need or ask or think or even can conceive. So God, you're good all the time, and all the time you're good. I want to thank you for Chaplain John. I want to thank you that Nancy is healing, and we just believe by Thursday she's going to have no need for any procedure, pins or plates or screws or any invasive thing in her body. We just thank you that she is recovering. And Lord, we pray for Dove, and we pray for the finances he needs. We pray, oh God, for all the other people, Michael in New York, that's got teeth situations that he's got to decide about. We pray for Britt, his friend that desperately needs people to fellowship with. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We pray for Israel. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for the persecuted in Syria, God, the slaughter that has taken place. It's so much like the people over there in Demas Shakarian's people. I can't even think of the name of it.
You're talking about the Armenians?
Yes, I knew it started with an A. So thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, this is Pastor Zephaniah. Hello, Pastor Zephaniah. Yeah, can you hear me, Pastor Zephaniah?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm saying thank you for the book of Revelation. So I'm getting something new each and every time.
Oh, I didn't know you were following that until...
No, you know, I do follow you. I do follow you on Facebook Live. So if it's Lamba, it's when you are to see me. But the Facebook Live, you don't see the people are in Facebook Live.
Okay, well, I'm glad you were blessed. So you called in to tell me you were blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, we thank God for this fine morning here. And I know you have been working tirelessly. It's day late now. You need to rest until tomorrow.
Okay.
And also with me, I'm still winding up with the things of going to Northern Uganda. You know, that's what I'm working over. And I communicated with the people of the printing who used to help us. So I need to go and see him today because we need to go with the materials there. If God helps us.
Yeah. Well, I got you here. Let's pray. Father, a great opportunity has come for us to go to Northern Uganda. Lord, there are all sorts of Muslims and refugees from South Sudan, Lord. There are other groups there. There are imams that have come to you and are part of the body of Christ in that area, Lord. Loads of Muslims that have come to you. And they're asking for brochures, and they want us to come and speak. So we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we need some funds for it. So I'm asking that you would open up the windows of heaven and send the funds so we can go to Northern Uganda there. And the fields are white unto harvest, Lord. So we praise you and thank you. Bless Pastor Zephaniah. Lord, bless everything that's going on with Evangelist John, with the Muslims in Mombasa, Lord. Mukuru Kayaba will be right after Christmas.
Hallelujah.
For three straight days, we'll be preaching in Mukuru Kayaba, Lord. And there's lots of prayer going up about this. And we thank you, Lord, that it's the largest slum in Africa, 1.25 million people. And we believe there's going to be an incredible harvest, Lord, an incredible harvest of souls for you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we ask. Amen, amen, and
amen. Amen.
All right. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye now. Well, that was nice. That was, Sister Kathy, that was a nice surprise.
Yes, it was. And Twizzle put a song to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, there's an opening. There's a church I preached in northern Uganda about, Zephaniah said 5 years ago, and an enormous amount of Muslims came to the Lord. So many came to the Lord that they had to build another church. And imams came to the Lord, and Pastor Zephaniah had to go there for about 2 weeks to tutor the Muslims in the Word. So we haven't been back in 5 years, and the pastor wants us to come, saying that the church is in size, it's just exploded. And they're winning all sorts of souls every day there. And they plan on having a big rally, a lot of Muslims coming. I don't know the date, but anyways, that's what Zephaniah was calling about.
Wasn't it the last 3 days before New Year's?
No, it could be. I only remember Makuru Kayaba.
Oh, okay.
That's the days after Christmas. I'm not sure about Uganda, to Uganda. So these are exciting times, Sister Kathy. This is really exciting.
Yeah. Now, the people from Sudan are Muslims or what?
No, they're mostly Christians.
Oh.
They were driven out of Sudan by war, and the war is... Muslims are, what's the word? They're just looting and killing and...
My goodness.
You know, so the Christians, Uganda opened up, Uganda borders with the Sudan, and so does Kenya. But most of the refugees are going to Uganda. So there are a lot of Muslims there also in that area of Uganda, and they're very open to the gospel. Those are the ones that we won to the Lord 5 years ago. So exciting, exciting, exciting times.
Sure is.
Okay. Sister Rita, would you like to pray, please?
Okay, I will. I would, Chaplain John. Father, I thank you, Father, that we are allowed to gather together and study the Word, Father. There's a lot of people in a lot of countries that does not have this freedom, or they don't have no freedom at all, Father, like we do in America. And I want to give you thanks for that, Father. Thank you for how you have blessed me. Thank you for what I eat, the water I drink, the bed I have, I'm able to lay my head on. And I just give you thanks, Father, for all this. Father, I pray for Chaplain John. I want to give you thanks, Father, for his teaching tonight. But, Father, I want to give you thanks for his teachings the other night. And I pray, Father, that you would guide him and direct him in what you would have him say to you, Father. And I mean, what you would have him to preach on, Father, and what to write. Anoint the brochures and the books, Father, that many will come to know your Son as their Savior, and that many hearts would be healed. And Father, I give you thanks for your healing of Nancy, And I ask that Nancy will, that you will continue to heal Nancy, Father. And I ask, Father, that when she goes to the doctor tomorrow, that they won't see anything on the x-ray to do anything. And this is what I'm asking, Father, in the name of my Lord and Savior. And, Father, I pray for Chaplain Starnes' children. I pray that you would bless them and his grandchildren and his children, Father. And also, okay. And I pray, Father, for Susie, Susie. I pray that you would heal her from her, heal her nerves, Father, that she will not, have these panic attacks anymore, Father, that you heal her from these panic attacks. And I pray that you will heal her broken heart, Father. And Father, I pray also for Sharon. I pray that you would heal Sharon and that you would strengthen her and encourage her. I pray, Father, and I ask that you will heal her legs to where she'll be able to walk. She'll get up and walk again, Father. And I pray for Gigi and Randy that you would also heal them, Father, and that these treatments they take, infection that they have, that they will benefit treatments. And also strengthen and encourage Gigi and Randy, Father. And I pray for outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that you would heal America and forgive us, Father. Forgive us of ours, the sins that has been passed by our government, how they legalized abortion, killing of babies, Father. They say abortion to where it doesn't sound as bad as killing babies. And I pray, Father, that you forgive us for this. Forgive us, Father, for legalizing marriages among the homosexuals and the lesbians. And I ask, Father, that you forgive us for allowing pornography to be a business in America, Father. For we have a lot to be forgiven, Father. And I pray that you will forgive us, Father, and that you be merciful unto us. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. I pray, Father, that Israel may have a lot of sins like we do in America. And I ask, Father, that you would forgive Israel and that you will, that your people, the Jews, would turn to your son and that they would love him with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And I pray that you will give Israel peace, Father. For you have told us to pray for peace for Israel. And this is what I'm asking for now, Father in heaven. And also, Father, I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around the IDF. I pray for salvation for all the young boys, well, they're men, young men and women that are in the IDF. And that I pray that they will come to know your son and love your son, Father, with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And I pray for Netanyahu, Father. I ask for the salvation of his soul, Father. I ask that you would lead him in the direction that you would want him to take Israel. Give him wisdom, Father, and encourage his heart. He has a lot on his shoulders, Father. Encourage his heart and strengthen him, Father. And I pray, Father, for the people that are living in tents down in North and South Carolina that went through the storm back in October and back in November, Father. I pray, Father, that you will give them a better housing to live in. The people that have lost their homes and they have nowhere to go but a tent. And so I ask, Father, that you will give them a better housing and that you would keep them warm and that you would strengthen them, their hearts, Father, and their bodies and their mind, and that you would also encourage them, Father, and that you would heal the broken hearts. And, Father, I also pray for Bishop Reinhardt's orphans. And I pray for Bishop Reinhardt, Father, that you will encourage him and strengthen him, Father. And I ask that you will provide clothing, food, housing, and water to his orphans. And, Father, I pray for these little children, these little hearts, that you would strengthen them, Father, and that you would encourage them, and that you would heal their broken hearts, Father. And then I pray, Father, when they come to the age of knowledge, that they will accept your Son as their Lord and Savior of their lives. And, Father, and I pray for everyone that is online tonight and in the chat room. And I think people are hearing this through, I forgot the name of that, YouTube. No, not YouTube. Facebook. And there was another one.
X. Well, it's called all the X. Mediums,
oh, X. Okay. Okay. Through all the mediums that they are hearing, they're able to hear Chaplain John speak. I pray for those people that are on those lines too, Father. And I pray, Father, I pray that you'll bless us, Father, and that you will comfort hearts, strengthen people, and heal broken hearts, Father, and that you would encourage people, Father. And I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And time went very fast today. But I think that everybody could get the layout of the Book of Revelation, and then with that layout, you could fit it, as you read it, you could fit things together. Now, next week will probably be the last week. I mean, I could go more on Revelation, but it might be the last week, and then we'll pick up with 1 John. But it's exciting. The Book of Revelation comes alive now when we've got it structured correctly. So with that, it's time to call it a night. And I'm going to close with the covenant about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We do that in the morning, but I think we should do it in the night also. So let me get this. I got to go into PowerPoint, which I've done. Here we go. Cry unto the Lord, prayer covenant. Abba, Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humbled before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus, and to hold back terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba, Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Tomorrow morning, Sister Kathy will be here, and Sister Sharon and others. I have a prayer meeting I go to on Wednesday mornings, but tomorrow night, I should see you for our discipleship class. Well, God bless everybody now. And even so, come, Lord Jesus.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. Gave life everlasting. His life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave.